the University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, he just shoved a gigantic caramel in his mouth.
I'm slowly but surely digesting, and it's a pleasure to be here, I think.
It's Professor Dave Chow.
Sure.
We're all on a sugar high.
Yes, we are.
We've got enough sugar here to, like, take over Havana right about now.
I like the idea that you mentioned that this chocolate box reminded you of a board game box, because that was my first impulse. Either that or it was going to be the mob movie or the Terminator movie where they're hiding the shotgun in the flowers, you know, like something like that.
You're going to open up the violin case and play a tune.
Exactly.
I thought of Cow Pie Bingo, actually.
Oh,
there's a grid in there.
It does look like Cow Pie Bingo, but...
A little bit. We have an array of chocolates. We have donuts. There are some sort of, like, chocolatey cookie over
cookies.
There.
Two kinds of cookies.
And Dan's got the mystery tin with my name on it.
So. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I don't know how we got here, but we went through a drought for a few years of not having a lot of snacks being dropped off, and they're back, baby. I mean, this is...
And we're grateful.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
We'll be the fattest show on the air before long.
It's not the only reason we come, but it is...
It helps.
Part of it.
It doesn't hurt.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Stephanie Conant. How's it going, Stephanie?
Pretty much what all my student evaluations say.
That's right.
No, the dulcet tones of my voice.
I'm sorry, you had put something on social media where you're like, Professor Conant's a badass. I was like, oh,
what's
my
favorite student evaluation?
Opening line.
Cutthroat and a badass. I was like, I will take both of those.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, think about what the evaluation would read if it was the exact opposite of that. Like, that would be bad. So this is good.
She hugs too much.
She's warm and fuzzy.
What a pushover.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Continuing around the table, Professor Dan Maggio is here with us.
Matt.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yep.
How would your children describe you?
Yeah, I think he's talking to you, Professor Conant.
Oh, me?
Sure.
How would my kids describe me? Lame. Really lame.
Lame.
Oh my gosh.
You gave birth to them.
Yeah, but I have a teenager. I'm so lame.
Wah, wah. Yeah. It's hard to please a teenager.
Just
very hard.
Tell him to get back to when he's 18.
Right. I know.
See when you're 18.
20's
Maybe
even better.
28.
28.
So, you know that thing that little kids do where something sticks in their mind, most likely some horrific, like, commercial jingle, and they just kind of repeat it to themselves as they're building or playing by themselves? So, just based on the conversation we're having, Emmett's over the holidays was a little Homer Simpson chestnut.
Yeah.
When you're 18, you're out the door. So he keeps repeating as he's building with his Legos. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
16-year-old should pay attention to our
And you're Homer. Saying, here's hoping?
Yeah. Here's hoping. Speaking of dulcet tones, those are those of Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome to 2020.
What? Well, thank you.
He doesn't have Texas
anymore.
Or,
as Baba Wawa says, 2020.
How long do you got to say Happy New Year? That's just like all the way through the month.
Probably until I learn to put the right date on a check.
Oh, that's a big deal.
The right year, and that may be April.
Yep.
Have you heard that you should always write 2020? Because if you just write 20, it can be forged to be any year at the other end.
Oh, my gosh. Police are reminding the citizens to not get accidentally 2-year-old post-dated checks out in circulation. Mm-hmm. Yes. Continuing around the table, Professor Kendra Evans is here.
Hello.
We're glad to have you, at least for half the time.
50% of the time this term. 50%.
50% of the time, it works every time.
Wait a minute. What's it this time? Soccer again?
Research.
Oh, that thing?
But... You have something to say about cookies? Might as well.
Oh, yes. I am with 2 Girl Scouts. And so please, if you're interested, I can send you links and you can purchase online. Or if you're interested, I can also, if you're in person, have you sign a sheet, which I don't have with me right now.
Sign your life away.
It's like a mortgage.
Yes. Thank you for that advertisement opportunity.
There's a new item this year. It's a lemon shortbread. I couldn't be more excited in my life.
Yeah, that's true. There is a new one. They took away Savannah Smiles.
Yeah.
But replaced with lemon shortbreads.
Yeah.
So possibly an improvement.
They look like
maybe likely an improvement.
What are Savannah Smiles?
Those are powdered lemon cookies.
Oh, yeah. Those
like
were
powdered
never good.
Sugar.
Just crack. It's crack.
Those were never good.
Some people like them. But I believe it's the lemon and not the powdered sugar.
Yes. Right.
So in that case, I think the lemon shortbread could be a winner.
Could be a winner. Professor Mara Livesey is here, possibly for the last time this semester. You know?
Likely one and only time this semester.
We'll see you in May at our special lunch.
Sure will.
I gave you an out as far as how to get here, but yeah, that skunk that showed up in her lab at 3 o'clock.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right before we needed her over here.
Darn right.
Absolutely.
This is a safe house.
That's right. It's also a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can find us on Facebook or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Annual stack of questions. Hi, professors. Pursuant to a previous week's comment about an Olympic broadsword, yes, please, in parentheses, here are some questions about swordsmanship and fencing I thought might be entertaining. Enjoy. Long time. Question submitter, Farah Shimbo. Thanks for sending these questions.
Where's Farah from?
No address, and I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry, Farah, but...
I see you on Facebook. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks for sending him in. Let's see what we got here. Errol Flynn and Basil Rathbone were considered the two finest swordsmen in Hollywood. Oh, that's got to be good for an award. In the several movies in which they dueled, they were always given the same set of directions. What were they?
Don't kill one another.
I'm going to give partial credit for that, but...
Don't hurt one another?
See if we can get a little bit deeper.
Don't hit in the head.
Poke your eye out.
Don't stab the other.
I was going to say, no stabbing.
Don't run with your sword.
Don't grab the sword end with your hand.
Don't run with scissors.
You're talking like a mom with three boys.
Don't cause us to make an insurance claim.
No, it's more like they were so skilled, this is all the direction they would need to put on a really, really good show, no matter what.
Do whatever you want. Improvise.
Basically, the four directions they would always do would be knock this over, say this thing here, knock that over, kill the other guy here. Those were the directions.
Okay.
That sounded like my last syllabus.
I guess I would have guessed Errol Flynn, but I didn't know Basil Rathbone was a great swordsman.
Basil Rathbone.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
What would you expect with a name like that? Wouldn't you think swordsman, probably?
Mm-hmm. Or Sherlock Holmes.
Or Sherlock Holmes, yes.
That's right. Staying with movies in the Ray Harryhausen classic, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, in the scene where Sinbad is dueling a skeleton who, quotes, played the skeleton.
Trying to remember. Think.
Isn't that the same guy that did like Gollum and...
It's a good guess to say Andy Serkis. You know what? I mean, come on.
That's his name.
Yeah. I think that's a good guess.
I'm trying to think who was...
It's a bit of a trick question, if that helps.
It's an animatronic. You know, it's a sculpture.
It was added in post, yeah. But who was, you know, being the skeleton
Ray?
In that way?
Harryhausen?
You know? No, it was Lorenzo Musumeci Greco, who just so happened to be an Olympic champion fencer.
The name was on the tip of my tongue.
We're just going there.
Oh, and the scene was filmed with both of them dueling. They removed Lorenzo and then had Kerwin Matthews playing Sinbad to fight. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's going to be an X on the sheet here.
Oh,
sorry.
Right. We just, so close. Yeah.
And Ray Harryhausen's spinning in his grave on account of me, doggone
sure
it.
Yes.
Nicest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Except with a sword.
Three types of swords are used for Olympic-level fencing. What are they?
Saber, foil, and a pay.
Saber, foil, and a pay. Yes, that is correct.
What? We're good for something.
I just have different hobbies.
You could
it's
say
fine.
Eepy.
I do not know these things at all.
Nope.
No.
The one you hold in your hand.
Not quite sure the difference between the three, but...
The shape of the blade.
Yeah, the shape of the blade.
Some of them are flat, some of them are sort of triangular. Yeah.
I would not want to have a sword fight with sabers with anybody.
I would love to have a sword fight with guns, that's also.
All right, so, you know, that's the old Star Wars thing,
darn
right?
Right?
Guns and swords.
Indiana Jones.
In the same movie, that's
with
right.
Bullwhip, yeah.
If one starts a duel with the épée in the left hand, is it legal to, in the spur of the moment, toss it to the right and carry on?
No.
Seems illegal.
Yeah.
Very illegal.
Doesn't it feel that way?
Depends if you're left-handed or right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what it says here? Absolutely not. And this is why, at the end of the year, I was second in my fencing class rather than first. Yeah, apparently, it was a strict no-no there. Wish they told me, Farrah says.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, my. That's too bad.
Now we know, though. Yep. She saved us from our future mistakes.
No question.
Yeah.
I will remember not to flip my épée from the left to the right hand.
What are you going
to
flip?
Flip the épée? Just don't do it to the president or something, you know? You know what we have to mention with questions like this on the table? I really hope I don't steal any of your thunder, Farrah, but the only D1 national championship that University of Detroit Mercy has on the records is in fencing. Yeah. So
she was kind of here a big deal. When I was here.
70-something is what 70? I remember. Or
I
maybe
think she
80.
Was in the 80s.
Maybe 80.
Yeah. Could be.
Which nation holds the record for most Olympic medals in fencing?
Turkey?
No.
France.
Czechoslovakia.
Mm-mm.
China.
I will give you a hint. Russia? That hint is Lorenzo Musumeci Greco.
Italy.
Over 125 individual medals.
Wow.
Italia, yes.
I thought they resolved their differences in other ways.
What, like eating or something like that?
A glove slap?
Yeah. Thumb wrestling.
Japanese master sword makers etch designs on their swords as part of the crafting process. Why is this done?
Signature?
Basically, yeah, so the swords can be identified. It's like signing a painting or something like that, yeah.
When it's found run through someone, they need to know where the sword came from.
The first thing that I thought of when I read that question was, is it a Hattori Hanzo?
Yeah.
Kill Bill, you know, might as well. Might as well.
Best movie sequence ever.
I gotta say. Although, just putting it out there, if you haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet.
Oh, I need to.
Okay.
I know.
I'm not giving away too much, but the last sequence is a classic Tarantino with many comical and bloody things happening, and I watch my 75-year-old mother-in-law crack up so bad, I'm like, this is worth it. This is worth seeing Jeez. This happen. It was beautiful. How old is the oldest known sword anywhere in the world?
3,000 years.
No, it's got
3,300 BC, so it's actually quite a bit older. It's over 5,000 years.
That's 5,000.
But what, I thought we were talking years. I nearly gave it away, whatever. It was found in Turkey. I was supposed to ask you what country. As if it weren't lethal enough as it was made from arsenical bronze, which couldn't have done its makers much good. Yeah, so it had arsenic in the blade. That's not
cool. The people that forged it might have bought it early.
Yeah, oh boy.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like part of a dinner set, is it? I mean,
Not that I can tell. Let me try to redeem myself here. The earliest swords made in India were made of what metal?
Bronze?
Mm-mm.
Brass?
Mm-mm.
Tin?
It's not an amalgam, actually.
Gold?
It's not gold.
Oh, it wouldn't make sense.
Would be heavy.
Too soft and heavy.
Speaking of soft, though, there are ways we can refine this metal and use it.
Aluminum?
Mm-mm.
Copper?
Yeah. Copper. Copper. Oh, they were made of copper. Mm. Made the swords look pretty nice. Yeah, exactly.
So until they turn green.
Yes.
With splotches of red.
Yeah. Japanese katana are often said to be the finest cutting blades ever produced. What spurred the change from the original Japanese sword to something specific like the katana?
Availability?
You can actually reason this one out. If Greg Sumner were here, we could reason this one out.
Some historical reason?
Mm-hmm. What, like the military force?
Getting closer.
Samurais?
Was it more efficient?
Killer?
Getting better, yep, getting really close.
It's less material.
Later. That much is true. They're very strong.
Yeah.
Easier to use,
getting there. I'll give you this much. After Japan was invaded by the Mongols, they decided to make stronger and sharper blades.
To pierce armor.
Yeah, basically.
Oh.
Mongols had armor that was boiled leather. It was very difficult, very light, hard to cut. Mm. But the katanas could do it. So, we got there.
We got there.
Functional.
Leading a student on all the way to the right answer.
Cut through the
there.
Leather.
Yep. In the UK, it's illegal to own a katana unless it is genuine, a.k.a. pre-World War II, and you're licensed to own it. What's the punishment for violating this ban in the year 2020?
You're shipped to Canada.
Is that a punishment? That's nice.
Yes, please.
You have to fight a ninja to the death. I don't know.
You have to wrestle one of the Queen's corgis.
Hanging.
50 pounds.
No. It is a monetary amount.
250 pounds.
It's more.
Wow. 500 pounds.
250,000.
Kendra, help us out.
250,000 is a little.
5,000 pounds.
It's 5,000 pounds exactly.
Yeah.
Why?
Kendra always gets it exactly
I don't always.
She's buying lottery tickets for all of us.
Everybody should buy a lucky ticket. That's right. $5,000 fine for owning an illegal katana. And it's a big deal in the UK, let me tell you. Last but certainly not least, King Arthur is credited nowadays with pulling Excalibur from a stone. Originally, it was a different sword. And what did he actually pull it from?
The water.
The lake?
No. Oh.
The Lady of the Lake, clad in her... Oh, sorry.
An animal?
Arthur is said to have broken his sword in a fight with King Pellinor, and the Lady of the Lake later gave him Excalibur as a replacement. He pulled it from an anvil, not a rock. Yes, it was embedded in metal.
Oh, I like the rock better.
Mm-hmm. The rock is just, you know, it's better for show.
Yeah. And
Disneyfication, that sort of thing. Very nice annual stack of questions. Thanks a lot, Farrah. Mm-hmm. That was totally cool.
Man, I got to go home and sharpen my katana now.
Well, we're going to move on. Thanks very, very much to Professor Livesey. Your student, I believe it was your student, Zahra Al-Habib.
Absolutely.
A set of questions that are very open-ended and feel a lot like our old friend ATP Favorites.
But I have her in class right now, so like if I get them wrong.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
your rate my professor rating might
lose Chili Pepper.
She'll realize you're not omniscient.
These are open-ended questions that feel a little more like our ATP favorites. I'll just toss a couple out there and see how people respond. What was your favorite subject to study in high school?
Recess.
Done.
Bio, to be a total
chemistry.
Nerd.
Yeah.
Band.
Advanced bio.
Art.
Math.
I think literature.
The nerdiest questions.
Oh, Dan sang math.
Yeah.
And you were literature?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was your least favorite thing to study in high school?
Public speaking.
Oh, that's
social
a good one.
Studies.
That's a good one.
Probably because the teacher didn't make it very exciting.
Algebra.
Geometry.
Yeah.
From a teacher who pronounced it exactly like that.
Oh, my.
This is going to really expose who I was in high school, but I liked all of my classes.
Ooh, that sounds like what you tell Aunt Ethel at Christmas.
Yeah.
I know that this one will generate at least a little bit of discussion. Oh. What was your initial or finishing major or track when you were in undergrad?
Biology.
Mine was biology also.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Cool. Yep.
And you graduated with a biology major?
Yeah.
Dang. What happened?
You could have been one of us.
One of us.
I was very interested in a lot of questions in medicine, and so then I got interested in healthcare ethics.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was pre-med for one semester until I realized I love science too much to go into medicine. And so when I finished, I was grad school bound, but my major never changed.
I think I love science too little to go into medicine.
That's fair.
So I went to graphic design. I work as an illustrator, so.
That worked out pretty well.
It's okay. I got kicked out of it, so.
I was chemistry and music.
That's right. I was math. I've always started as an engineer. I was good until I got into circuits. Professor Pollock. But don't tell him.
Good thing you didn't say it in any public forum.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've told that before. I wish I could do it again because I would have enjoyed a field in computer science, the hardware, more of the software, and I really would have enjoyed an architecture career. I think I would have been a good architect.
What was the hardest class that you took when you were in undergrad?
Oh, calculus. Particularly integral calculus.
That's even easier.
Physical chemistry too.
Yeah.
But actually, that was the most complicated, but the hardest to do well was quant.
Oh, well, that's what you teach.
Those jerk professors of quant.
Yeah, who are they anyway?
All of my chemistry classes.
All?
All of it. Was my minor.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
But I made it.
Look how strong you are now.
I'm chemistry? No.
It's just as a person, as an individual.
But you like biochemistry, don't you?
I did like biochemistry.
Yeah, I liked biochemistry.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should like biochemistry.
I had a really good friend who was a genius that sat next to me in all of my classes. So I went from like C's to B minuses to B's to B plus. So by the end of it,
That's what you want.
You figured it out.
Upward trajectory.
There were things I didn't figure out till like postdoc.
Well.
I was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that happened to me too, though.
Yeah.
And I teach in it, so.
I took a creative writing class that was mostly short stories and poems. Very difficult for a science major. Yeah,
I bet that would be. Yeah, absolutely. This one is just a little bit charged.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Zara, for sending this question. Now that you're a professor, is it what you expected? I'm guessing that someone who's taught for a few semesters versus someone who's taught for decades is going to have a different answer to this.
Should we start with...
I will say that it is nothing like I thought it was going to be. Like, and I'm not just
being
funny.
You thought it was going to be like the Three Stooges where you walk around with a cap and gown and, you know.
No, no. It just is very, very different than what I thought it was
going to be. A lot more administrative.
Yeah, I think it's different, too. Yeah. The paperwork part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably the biggest change.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. I think in our profession, you don't even think about what it is until you're like, oh, I guess I better figure out if I want to teach or not.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I gave it much thought.
Okay. Kendra, you look like you had something
to say. I feel like it's a little bit different. I mean, there's certainly more administrative stuff, and it's not all about teaching. That's the thing that is like, yeah. You can't know about
part.
That.
Right.
Teaching is the easiest part.
If you have a good role model, you can come to mm-hmm. love the teaching, mm-hmm. but it's all the other stuff that goes with the teaching that you don't know about.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and it's also the other stuff that's so exhausting.
Yeah.
What show are you currently binging?
Oh, I'll tell you. So I just binged The Mandalorian.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it. And I am currently on season 2, episode 4 of Star Trek Discovery.
Good man.
And I like it.
Uh-huh, told you.
That's a reserved like.
It gets better.
I'm doing The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Me too.
And I like
me
that
too.
One. I really like
Which
that
episode
one.
Which episode are you on?
I'm on, let's see, season 2, episode 6.
Oh, you're only on season 2? Oh, my gosh.
You'll get there.
it's so good. Yes, I'm on like 3 or 4, but I had the flu in the last one, so we got to start over on that one again.
So on Netflix, it's the Machinsky Project with Alan Arkin and Mike Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny. Okay. Alan Arkin is just a
He's hilarious
genius.
In general.
Okay. Absolutely. He's always a cranky old man.
Yeah.
But he's genius in here. The show is actually very good.
What is this show called?
Machinsky Project. Mm-hmm. He's an acting coach. So it's kind of Mike Douglas is his last name is Sandy Machinsky.
Yeah,
and then Alan Arkin is his best friend. They're like
they got nominated
couple,
for a lot of things.
Is it only on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's worth the watch. The episodes are a half an hour.
Right.
So it's very entertaining.
So I'm a little bit embarrassed. We already finished Mrs. Maisel and Mandalorian, I just finished You.
Oh, I heard a lot about this.
I'm in the second season now.
Heard a lot about this.
So. I just started watching it not knowing the premise.
Right.
1 minute into it, I'm like, this dude.
Yeah.
He's bad.
The memes
news.
Are hilarious, though.
I got to check out those memes.
What channel is that on? Where do you
it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
My husband even got sucked in, and he was like, what is happening in this show?
It's called You?
You.
You.
So all I can tell you about You is only recently have I figured out, have not watched anything, but... First day of class, I'm erasing the board. It's a small room, so I can talk to the board. All right, what did you guys binge over break? What do you want me to watch? First row, I can hear the voice. You. And then someone next to the person who just talked. He's not going to watch you. Don't break up. And then I go and I read what it's about. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's a third season coming.
It'll mess you up.
The best parenting move I had over break was that I had one episode left.
Oh, no.
And all the kids were busy with like...
You got rid
electronics?
Of that.
No, and I'd like to know. I was like, do you think I can like pull off watching it? Because they're clearly not paying any attention whatsoever. He's like, yeah, let's try it. 5 minutes in, there's like some bloody scene. And my 7-year-old puts down his tablet and is like,
what is going on, Mom?
He starts watching. I was like, never mind. We'll finish that later.
it's the Kaminsky Project. Sorry. It
was Kaminsky.
Not, yes.
Okay. Excellent.
So, yeah.
And the new season, if you get CBC, of Schitt's Creek is on.
Oh,
which,
I
if you've
watch
seen
that
is
so good.
Yes. I've heard good things.
Very, very funny.
Brilliant.
Very funny.
Brilliant.
My wife has tried to pull me into that, and I can't say. I'm literally still catching up on the last 2 seasons of The Simpsons, and I can't look at anything else until I'm done.
The Good Place just started another season, too.
Yeah.
Heard good things about that, too.
There's way too many good shows on TV.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, if you can even call that television.
I know. I know.
And have you watched Fleabag yet?
That's great.
No, but that's the...
Not Fleabag.
Isn't that the director of...
It's Killing Eve.
Killing Eve, which is another...
Also heard good things about
amazing
that.
Amazing show. You ever seen it?
I don't know. I stay up too late, probably.
Sandra Oh.
But
well done, yes.
Yeah.
But she was the director of the second season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of all of them.
No, I thought they were different directors.
Nope, she wrote the whole... She's the writer for the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe, all right, thank you.
Seriously, the only thing that I've been watching lately is the greatest of all time Jeopardy tournament, and it's really entertaining. I gotta say,
of course,
there was an awesome. They do two full shows in every episode and combine the scores to get the match point. And in the very first day's show, first match, there was a category called chemists, and I'm rubbing my hands together, and then Alex is like, and we have a very special guest to deliver these clues. And it's Bryan Cranston in full Walter White mode reading the clues. I'm like, this is sweet. It was sweet.
The only thing that's throwing me is, why is it on ABC?
Well, remember, it's syndicated. It can be whenever, network it wants to.
It just kind of throws me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
I think it was probably NBC had stuff running at that time of night that they didn't want to disrupt, particularly open-ended. Because they didn't know how many episodes it was going to take for one of them to win three.
Right. Yeah. I find all three of them very entertaining. Ken Jennings, I've read a bunch of the books that he's written. They're really, really interesting. He wrote a book about that he was a map geek growing up and liked to read maps. And it's just the most entertaining thing in the world. There is a spelling bee thing that happens in the United States that forces kids to read maps. And he goes and follows one of the kids through their training. And whatever. It's just, there's a weird culture. It's called Maphead. Because that's what they call each other. True
Matt. Okay, so Matt, having watched it, who's going to win it?
Oh, well, I'm afraid to bring it up on the air because I don't want to
jinx somebody.
If people want to go back and watch the episodes. There is somebody who keeps losing, I can tell you that right now.
I was just amazed, though, at how all three of them have made a life of Jeopardy.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, but when you make that much money, it does change your life.
Well,
Brad Rutter has won every, after he was on the show, tournament that he's been in.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. $3.7 million by being on one TV show. That's incredible.
And how many months out of the year was Ken Jennings just, half a year almost?
If you haven't watched the most recent episode yet, I won't give anything away to say Alex is really pushed because, of course, the poor guy, he's unfortunately passing away slowly with pancreatic cancer. But he doesn't know what to bring up with these people anymore. Like, we know a lot about these people.
Well, no, they're doing those little mini bios.
But the other day, he asked them, what did you do to prepare for this tournament? And Ken Jennings is basically just a regular guy, goofball. And he's like, I don't know. I like practice doing this with my thumb. And then James Holzhauer, totally stone-faced, is like, well, I read all your books and watched all the episodes that you were on so that I knew what your cadence was. And Ken Jennings is like, oh my God, dude. Like, you take this really seriously. And Holzhauer was just 100% for real. Like, he's like, I studied you. You didn't study me.
He is a professional gambler.
Oh, yes. Oh, gotta know the tell, right? Oh, my gosh. Those were really, really good questions, Zara. But it is time for us to say goodbye. Professor Lipsy.
See you later.
Professor Evans.
Bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Au revoir.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Conant.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.